Good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we are blessed because we have, you know, one of the only people that I know that is a belly dancing psychotherapist. And that is Jennifer Drummond. For anybody who knows her, she's quite the vibrant and energetic person, although she's just taken 2 hours to get here and just got here in the nick of time. So we're going to give her a little bit of breathing space as she comes back into her place. But welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you very much, Lori. It's wonderful to be here. It's great to be here and to be chatting with you and everyone else.
We're trying to get the levels up here.
The levels all right. Yeah. Not so great. Okay.
Well, they're getting there. They're there.
There we go. Okay. Normally me being loud enough is not normally a problem.
This is true.
So the laughter might throw you a little bit off when it finally starts. So
lovely.
Anyway, yeah.
So, okay. So you have one of the most unique jobs I know because you are the belly dancing psychotherapist.
I am. Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful blend. I really quite love working the two of them together. And I kind of went on both paths at the same time. So it's been, hi, kitty.
Sorry. Jasper likes to join in on all interviews, especially if they're here.
Yeah. And it's been probably a good decade or so that I've been on both journeys. And they both started together for my own personal development. And I kept them quite separate for a while and then started just realizing that my own healing process was accelerating because the more I got into my belly dance and then found a couple of clients who were willing to, I just started to work with them individually as belly dance clients and they were also going through different stuff and the two came together quite nicely and worked really, really well, in particular with women. Obviously, with women, I've only tried it with.
Yeah, I can't imagine many men doing the whole belly dancing thing, although, you know, they could probably use it.
Absolutely.
You know, get that energy flowing.
Absolutely. And there are some male belly dancers out there.
Are there?
There are.
Oh, that's
there
exciting.
There are. If anybody wants to Google them, there's one who's actually in Toronto called Valazan, and he's lovely, as well as one in San Francisco called Jim Boz, and he's kind of known as the Elvis Presley of belly dance. He's a riot. And there's one in Egypt who's quite famous, who for an Egyptian is really hard. Because he actually does belly dance, not the folkloric male dance. And his name is Tito. And man, can his hips move! It is not that common. Yeah.
No, I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of cool to know.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all. I'm pretty sure they're all on YouTube. So people want you can
male belly dancing.
Male belly dancing.
There's not a lot of that anywhere. So right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
That's cool. That's mm-hmm. cool. And you started doing something with the new moon or the new moon or full moon?
Full moon. Yeah. I work primarily with the full moon. I mean, I love the moon phases. And again, this is something that I was doing with myself and started to incorporating it with clients and made it a little bit fuller. Pun not intended. And I just decided to start opening it up to other people if they wanted to come. So once a month, I actually host a full moon meditation. So it changes every moon, depending on what's coming in and who's in the room. I use my intuition quite a bit in regards to what people actually need to tap into. And so we tap into not only their energies, but also the energy of the moon. And the main reason is for healing and reconnecting. A lot of the times people just get so busy and caught up in life. And the full moon is such a powerful time that it's a wonderful opportunity to sit back and reflect and use the energy that is so potent at that particular time for your benefit. I mean, right. It's there. And the moon loves you to use it, right?
Exactly.
It's not like, you know, bad dating. It's yeah. They want you to, she wants you to use it. So go for it. And you know, it's a wonderful give and take sort of situation
now,
with
is
energy.
It tied in with astrology, or is it?
A little bit tied in with astrology, but I don't get into too much detail. More of it is just like I read up during the month and find out what's happening, but I won't necessarily explain, you know, the moon is in Virgo.
right.
Because it's then people get too caught up in the details of those sort of things, and they lose the essence of what the energy and the healing can bring to them. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them to get too caught up in that. And I know that I do. And when I've done that with clients, they do get caught up in it.
Sure.
So, but I use it to influence perhaps what the theme of the,
So you connect in with what the theme
is. Yeah, I connected in with the theme. So it's done in a little bit more subtle aspect of it. And cool. Unfortunately this month, I do it on Sundays. So it happened yesterday.
Oh, there you go. We had a full moon yesterday.
No, well, we have a full moon tomorrow.
Oh.
But I do it as close. I do it on a Sunday.
Right.
The Sunday closest to.
So doing a little bit tonight will be perfect.
Wonderful.
Because it fits right in with the fact that it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Really?
Tomorrow or the 11th?
Oh, I have it
the
on 11th.
The 11th. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, sorry. The 11th. Yeah. Today is the
9th. Yeah, I know.
My name is Jennifer. I don't have a concussion, but I don't know what day it is.
You know, and I, you know, most of us, I don't expect for us to, you know, I was writing something today and wrote the 9th, and then I put the 8th, and I went, it really is the 9th. So yeah. I was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
So you brought some goodies here. You have
I did. Well, this will be for the meditation that we're going to do a little bit later. And this is just a note.
Yes, your card.
Notes.
Yeah.
Just a note.
But what's in the little bowl that you
have? It's just shaker eggs.
They're shaker eggs.
Yeah.
Cool.
They just happen to be in there. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's a Tibetan bowl. If anybody, you can't see it, so.
This is true.
But you'll hear it in a few if you keep tuning in, and we'll use it. I also love using music, obviously. Well, not obviously, but for me, it's obvious that it's a perfect blend in using vibration to help.
Well,
stuff
you sort of need music to belly dance.
Absolutely.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you absolutely need music to belly dance.
I can't imagine doing
drums are amazing.
Ooh, yeah, drums would be good. Drums would be very good.
Yeah, drums are great. I love using drums to belly dance. And just drums alone, but all kinds of instruments, and you can blend it with a number of different things. Once you have a repertoire of a certain number of steps, you can just play with it and have fun and essentially do whatever it is that works with your body. Pretty much my rule of thumb for belly dancing is when in doubt, smile and shake something. And you're good to go, because it's all about really feeling your spirit alive, connecting to your divine and connecting, being very, very grounded as you're doing it, but also connecting up. And what a wonderful aspect to connect to earth energy and also to universal energy and tapping it into those energies that reside within your own body,
mm-hmm.
and having them expand outward. So it's a really lovely expression. And I love the women who come in either for my Beyond Belly Dance series or for just the regular belly dance series. And of course, being a psychotherapist, they kind of bleed over anyway. It's just who I am. I can't stop who I am, and I won't.
Why would you? Why would you ever want to do that?
So, but just seeing women, you know, coming into my class and, you know, having a couple of them coming in with their workout gear that's really maybe two sizes too big for them, because they're conscious of their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of a 10-week period, as they get more and more confidence and they realize, oh my gosh, I'm picking up these steps and I'm doing them, and I kind of like the way my body feels when I do them. I can actually see when someone finds the move that they really like. right? I always say, wait for 4 or 5 weeks. Some of the moves will be hard. You know, I'm going to teach you the harder ones first. So try and persevere because they need some practice.
Right.
But you'll find a move that really you love in how it feels in your body. And I can almost always tell. Actually, I can always tell because their energy shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look and they almost have this half-glazed look over their eyes and this wonderful smile that is very much tapping into the goddess with inside of them, but also tapping into that little girl who didn't have body issues, who just was there and running around and couldn't care less. You know, back in the days, everyone's parents have a picture of us running around at about 2 or 3, butt naked, and we couldn't care less. If anything, we probably preferred it.
Probably, yeah.
And that catching that spirit again and having a movement that makes you tap into that part of your soul is something pretty magical, and to be able to be present to see so many women tapping into that is really a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that aspect of it. Yeah. And then when I have do the beyond belly dance, and this is when I work one-on-one with clients.
Okay.
And so and with this I incorporate the chakra system. So just in case, I pretty much am sure most of your listeners will know what the chakras are. But in case there are people out there who don't, everyone at some point did not know what they were. So don't be embarrassed about that. There's actually about 360 all over our body, and they're energy centers and points. And I work primarily with the 7 main ones, which are the ones you've probably heard of. They go up the meridian. They follow the spectrum of the rainbow. So they start at the base, at the perineum, and then up to the sexual chakra, which is, and each of them have color. So the base is red. The sexual chakra is orange, yellow for solar plexus, green for heart, blue for throat, indigo for third eye, and violet for crown. And so we work with those, and within those, there are blocked energies. And so it's quite neat because I usually just intuit. There's not actually a whole lot of talking. There's much more movement happening and feeling the energies and the idea of getting people in their bodies. Because for the most part, we spend most of our time in our heads anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to hear you speak. We need to get you in your body. And so usually, you know, if I get someone starting with me new, we'll like do kind of like crash course on learning some of the movements that can be used. Or if I get people who do already know belly dance, which I have gotten, we just play some music and work on different moves. And then I can see when there's energy blocked. And so we'll work on those moves.
Because they're more restricted or restrained? Or is it because you actually, like, is it also that you feel it?
I feel it. Yeah, I'm very kinesthetic or clairsentient, whatever you want to call it. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. I feel it everywhere. And I just feel it coming at me for the most part. But they're also usually, sometimes there's a slight and subtle stiffness that they usually don't notice.
Mm.
And sometimes it's not even just in one move. It's a move on one side.
Mm.
Right. Sure. So they're battling something on either their left side or their right side. They're balancing that male and female energy. And sometimes they need to bring some of that out. So we'll just work it and work it and work it. And then usually what happens is that emotion comes up. Whatever the emotion is, sometimes it can be incredible joy. Like I've had students break out in complete laughter to the point where they had to actually stop dancing because they were laughing so hard that they were starting to hyperventilate. That was lovely and joyous.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also had people come up with anger. Anger has come up, and it's like, as well as sadness. And also a sense of peace once the shift happens. And I can see that the shift has happened. They can feel it in their body, which is always the cool thing when they start feeling that the shift has happened. And so the goal is to keep them moving while the emotion is moving through them so that they can embrace the emotion and not feel overwhelmed by it. Because for a lot of the times, what I found over the course of my practice was that people would either get completely overwhelmed and be taken over by the emotion and be a puddle, or not be grounded in their joyousness, be really airy and and kind of out there, and then crash. So trying to keep it in that nice blend in the body and in reality, or people completely shut down and numb out, and then push the emotion back into its little place, back into its box. You were in there, you go back in there now. I don't want to deal with you ever. You know, sometimes it's appropriate to push the emotions away because it's not appropriate to express the emotions in a particular situation. Mm-hmm. But we need to, at one point, bring it back up again and address what's happening, not just keep pushing it down and filling that box up until the top blows off of whatever emotion it is. So I ask them to keep moving and moving through the emotion so that it doesn't become so scary. So that later on, when those emotions come up, they can have confidence in themselves that they can actually cope. Right. And that they can deal with it because they've already done it. Right.
Do they have to dance again to do it?
No, you know, not always.
It is a beautiful way, though, to work through something is by, you know, getting your body into it and not, because that is the place where we store it. We store, you know, either emotions or the pain or, you know, all of our experiences are stored in certain places and areas within the body. So it would be beautiful and very unique to be able to express it in that way and experience it in that way and to release it in that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it also doesn't mean that every time you're going to dance, you're going to break that out.
No. Right? Then nobody would want to dance.
No one would want to dance. Yeah. And so the idea is that we're actually focusing and we're doing the movement with intent. But I also came up with it because I noticed that I would be doing certain movements, and if I would go home and practice, if I was when I was just a student of belly dance, and I'd, you know, if we're preparing for a performance, you keep practicing over and over and over again, I'd notice certain moves they just weren't feeling as good as I knew that they could. Mm-hmm. And I would practice over and over again, and stuff would come up, without intention of moving the energy at all. It's just like, oh, what's going on there? And, you know, it's like, oh, like I do stuff with my heart chakra and obviously things with involving the chest. And all of a sudden I was like, for me, it worked. At some points it'd be like, yeah, I feel great. Like right now when I do stuff with my chest, I always feel real, just incredible joy. Mm-hmm. Not always. It depends what's going on and what kind of day I've had. But for the most part, I'm pretty happy about it. But at one point when I first started and it coincided with what I was going through at the time, I felt really vulnerable and had to sit in that vulnerability. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. There we go. What's going on now? And I wasn't making the awareness, but it was funny because another friend said, oh, well, you know, I was feeling really vulnerable when I was practicing that move too. And I was like, okay, I'm not losing my mind. Or feeling something else, like working with the lower chakras and having anger come up, right? Going, why am I angry? And the whole idea is like, well, as long as I'm shifting it, do I really need to know why?
Well, that's a good point. You know, I think we often put so much emphasis and so much focus on, you know, trying to figure out. Awareness is absolutely key. But there are times when I think that, you know, when we're trying to figure it out, we're in our head.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's taking us away from where we really need to be, which is to feel it. And whether we can feel it through movement or whether we feel it through our heart or however it is that we feel, you know, that's the point.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the, you know, trying to fix it or understand it or, you know, and then it becomes a mind game. It becomes, you know, completely ego and completely, you know, the pain body and completely, you know, something we're trying to figure out and fix.
Yeah. And ultimately it can become another defense.
Sure.
Sure. Just like, oh, great. Just chalk that one up again. Yeah. And so, so it's really, so the idea of the dance is really to say, okay, do we need to figure out why? Right. And then it also goes, it also can play into even a more esoteric aspect of it. It's like, okay, well, we're limited to the why of what happened in this lifetime if we believe in past lives and that we are carrying stuff over karmically from previous lives. Then, okay, so does that mean if we really have to find out the reason why and there isn't any explanation in this lifetime good enough, do we have to really dig back and go for it? Or can we just embrace that emotion, feel it, and then let it move through us? And then move on.
And not just that, because, you know, we're, our consciousness is, you know, you deal mostly with women. So we've got the woman consciousness, you know, within a culture, within a city, within a country, and, you know, within the grand scheme of just women and all of that baggage that we've had to carry over from, you know, for centuries and centuries and centuries of.
Exactly.
Being repressed.
Well, the generational beliefs that we don't even question.
Right. So, I mean, we've got a whole crap load of stuff. I mean, we've all been burnt at the stake. We've all had, you know, been beheaded. I mean, we've all dealt with all of that stuff that whether, you know, whether you want, whether you believe in past lives or not, it's a cultural thing that comes in as part of our, you know, collective consciousness or unconsciousness.
Unconsciousness in most cases. Yeah.
You know, that we have to be aware of.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's tons of influences. I mean, and you can even think about that in a way of just within your own family, right? What's your own family's views on certain things and how does that affect how you believe? And so if just stuff from within your own family culturally, you know, and as a country, there's definite influences that go on. I mean, you know, being a woman from Canada is going to be really different than, say, for example, being a woman from France or Australia or Africa or, you know, and within Africa, of course, a number of different things, you know, you know. So there's a lot of stuff to put into place and that can be there just unconsciously and bringing it up to the surface or trying to dissect it. If we really, I honestly believe that when the emotion comes up and we move it, and if we actually need to know the reason why, it'll come to us, right? That lesson will come and that awareness will come, and then it can help us to move towards accepting it and then move towards changing it if we need to. And a lot of the times we might need to change things, but we might need to just tweak it a bit or just having the acceptance and the awareness and then the acceptance of self that, okay, this is who I am, you know, and that's okay. You know, that's pretty darn okay, actually. It's better than pretty darn okay. I kind of like it. And just going with that, it's like, how amazing would that be? And how amazing would that be for our society, you know, just having had International Women's Day and seeing all the events happening around the world. Thank goodness, you know, we got some press. It was not all that much considering, you know, the world is 57% women. But anyway.
Was it uneven like that?
Huh? It is. Yeah. Really? Wow. It's pretty uneven. But
that's
interesting. Yeah. So, but it's a wonderful, wonderful celebration. And
is that
tapping
because of
into
all the war that we've had that the men have been
quite
being
possibly
killed?
And it just the birth rate is
interesting. Didn't know that.
I won't say. I actually just think that it's time. I personally think that it's time for the energies to start shifting, and therefore more females are being born so that the energy can start shifting back and balancing out.
Back. This is the first time on this planet where we're getting close to being balanced. I mean, this is this is a huge time in our progression as a planet.
And I think we just need more female energy to help make balance that happen, and as in regards to the greater scheme of things. And just, you know, influencing more men to get to that aspect as well of thinking that balance. Because there's a lot of good guys out there who are more there than some of the women I know.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And I don't mean gay guys. I just mean guys. Yeah. Like, guy guys.
Guy guys.
Guy guys. It's like, you're such a dude, man. And then they'll come up with something that's completely challenging me as a woman. I have some, you know, male friends who do that sort of thing. And they're going, well, why can't you do that? Like, to them, it makes no sense. It, like, why am I questioning it? And it's like, oh, right. You know, and I'm kind of questioning it because there's that societal thing that women don't do these sorts of things. Right. And I was like, well, why not? And it's great to have that being fed back. And it's also really kind of a nice eye opener and a refreshing, but as well, a really heartwarming thing to hear it coming from a male voice. Hmm. You know, where for them, it's not a question. It's like, well, why not? You know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, they haven't, at least these particular guys haven't necessarily fallen into really holding on to the stereotypes. And they challenge me, which is quite lovely. And I'm quite blessed that way. So, yeah, but that's sort of the things that I work with, and as well, even just in regards to when I work with therapies, because of course I have therapy clients who are saying, yeah, I'm not dancing.
Really?
It's wonderful that you do, but I'm not even trying it. No. And so, but I also think it's quite neat that I have several clients who don't dance.
That is funny.
And they come to me.
That's funny.
It's like, okay, there's something here. You know, there's something here. We're going to eventually get it somewhere that either you might not dance with me, but you might just start dancing and free your soul that way. So I think it's quite neat. And so, you know, and I respect them. Sure. Yeah, I have to respect where they're at and what they're willing to do and what they're willing to accomplish.
Do you think it's them feeling uncomfortable with moving, or is it just that that's not who they are?
It's just not who they are, but they still resonate with me as their therapist and what I have to offer. And I think they also do like that fact that I am so in my body, that and how that reflects back to them. I think that they like that aspect of it because they keep coming and when they need it. So it's kind of, it's kind of neat that way, the way that that works. But yeah, they're not going, like, there's a couple I'm thinking they're going, it is not happening. I just go, okay. And you know, I've gotten a few of them where I've given them a couple of moves and they've gone home and done it.
So they won't do it in front of you, but they'll go home and try it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Which is good. And they've found it beneficial.
Right.
Yeah. Which is kind of neat. Yeah.
And so do you have to, like, when you're thinking of music for specific people, like, are you thinking, like, is it all an intuitive thing? Or, like, when you pick up music, when you think, okay, this can help with this and this can help, like, are you really...
Well, the music, because I listen to, like, I have no idea what popular music is out there right now. I listen to pretty much only Middle Eastern music.
Okay.
I mean, I know a few things.
Traditional belly dancing music.
Yeah. And I do particularly Egyptian belly dance with
Oh, that's cool.
With a nice focus on folkloric stuff because it's really quite grounded. And so I know my music quite well, and I know the rhythms. Particular moves work better with particular rhythms, and then depending on the client, I might need to challenge them a little bit more. So I might pick more complicated rhythms,
right,
to work with them. But then it almost always intuitively, if it needs to shift, it's funny because the music will just shift, and then I will add another movement, like layering on top of it, because belly dancing is pretty much all about isolations and layers. And So we'll be doing one particular movement. And then I'll say, okay, throw in your head. And I don't know why, mm-hmm. but I'll, and I usually dance with them.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I dance with them and am feeling the energy with them. So I don't just stand there looking at them because that would be really intimidating.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I just dance with them. And sometimes we don't even dance looking at the mirror. It depends on how they're feeling. So, you know, we just turn to the other wall. If you don't want to look in the mirror, that's fine. I'll turn to the other wall or I can cover it up. Whatever. Mm. Why not? Sure. Eventually, I like them to look at the mirror, but if they're having a really bad day, I'm not going to push it. That's not true. Caught in a lie. I will push it, but if they really say no, then I will respect that. Right. Yeah, because I want to make sure that they're just not trying to take the easy road, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, so we'll do that. We'll do that. And if I say throw in something else, that's usually like within usually a minute of the new move being thrown in. I have no idea why, because he wouldn't necessarily even do that during a performance, but it works. That's when the break will happen. It's really quite neat. Mm-hmm. It's really neat. And I teach the students this, or I teach my clients this, so that they can take it home and do it themselves. They don't have to wait for me.
Right.
So if you need to develop, more solar plexus energy, more personal power, you need to stand in your strength, you're in victim mode perhaps and allowing things to happen to you, and you're letting them happen. Mm-hmm. or you need to create those personal boundaries and say no to yourself. Then I will teach them all these moves. And it's like, okay, do them. Just keep doing them. This is what we need to do. Work on it at home, because this is only one session, a week. You can do it at home. You don't need me to be coaching you on it all the time. Yeah, you come, we work on it. We'll do a series of 10 and work on it. And then you can come back occasionally when you need to do that shift. Or if you find that you can't do it on your own, and you accept that that's who you are, then you can keep coming back. But there's that aspect of I want to empower the women that I see. I don't want them to just be a slave to me and to the process. I want them to learn the process and be able to use the process and how it works for them. So
now, did you actually, I'm not going to say professionally, but did so when you learned belly dancing, it was for like you?
I learned it originally just for fun.
Okay.
With a girlfriend. I was introduced to it in the south of France when I lived there. Nice. I met a bunch of people from, North Africa and the Middle East and fell in love with the rhythms and the beats. And girlfriend and I kept talking about it for years. And I finally said, hey, what are you doing Wednesday night? Nothing. Guess what I'm signing us up for? And as soon as I started learning it, I was hooked, hook, line, and sinker. I make a joke that I actually got a little ADD, got a little OCD about it. At one point I was taking 3 classes a week and practicing pretty much every day for an hour or two. So I got really intense into it. It resonated with me and hit me so hard as this is something that I really want to do. So I eventually started performing with my teacher, and then on my own I'll do a gig here and there and stuff like that. I don't necessarily pursue it because I got other stuff to do, but but when people find me and they want a gig, and if I'm free, I'm all for it. I love it. I love putting on the costume and the makeup and doing my hair, but then just getting out there and feeling the music. And then I also quite love when I'm performing is getting the crowd involved and letting them enjoy it and letting my joy be infectious with the crowd or what my students call, boy, you can really work the crowd. So on Friday, I did with some of my students, we did a performance for International Women's Day. Nice. And had, there might have been 100 women there, and we probably got about 40 of them up.
Nice.
To try and try and learn a couple of moves, and they were happy and joyous, and the organizers wrote the next day and said, wow, you just totally changed the energy of that celebration. Thank you so much. And it was wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to do that and to give that and allow women who, you know, are working hard, taking care of the kids, you know, trying to make ends meet, this little bit of time to just have it, some joy. So that was great. And if anybody's interested in learning more about Beyond Belly Dance, I actually have a fundraiser coming up. Nice. One of the things that I'm also involved in is called The Weekend to End Breast Cancer. And it's the 60-kilometer walk that goes through the city in September. So if you ever see, you know, something like 5,000 people in pink walking around the city of the Toronto, that's what they're doing. It's all about creating community and awareness around breast cancer, but also to raise money for people who are going through the disease so that they can live quality lives while they're doing it and not have to worry. So it's something that I've done for 4 or 5 years. And so I raise money throughout the year for it. And the reason why that cause is important to me is because my grandmother died of breast cancer. So, so I'm doing that. It's on Saturday, March the 14th is the Beyond Belly Dance fundraiser. And my office is down near Yonge and Bloor. So you can email me or check my website and get more information to RSVP. So it's the website is www.jenniferdrummond.com. And I'm sure if you go into Intuitive Soul, they'll be able to be able to find the link.
Yep.
So, and the minimum donation is $20, but you get a tax receipt.
There you go.
So you can't beat that. And if you are going, okay, no, yeah, I'm interested in belly dance, but that time doesn't work for me, or I'm not interested in like learning, going for the healing aspect of it, then I also have sample belly dance classes that I'm also, I call them Shimmy for the Cure. And they're on, there's one's on Wednesday, March 25th from 5:30 to 6:45. And then the other one, there's two more on the Saturday, the 28th, one at 11 a.m. and then one at 12:45. And they're all about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. So you'll do a nice warm up and cool down as well and get to shake a little, shake the dust off. Have some fun. So if that's something that you're interested in, those are some of the things that I offer. And then of course, I have my regular 10-week programs, and usually at the end of the 10 weeks for beginners, you learn a little bit of a choreography.
Nice.
It's about 3 or 4 minutes, and the goal of it is that you get all these moves, and it's nice to have the moves, but you need to blend them together. It is a dance after all. And so I give you the I give you the moves, and then about, you know, week 5, I give you the choreography, and nice. And it's the idea is just that you can practice all the moves. So even if you decide not to return for that, you have that little choreography that you can continue to practice on your own if you want. And so that's one of the things that I offer. And those are starting April 1st.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So yeah. So those are some of the things that I offer. Yeah. So, nice. Yeah. And I mean, I could keep talking.
You could. Did you want to do the, did you want to get us into a full moon meditation?
Sure. So, and this is something else that I offer is a full moon meditation. And as I said, that they happen usually the Sunday closest to the actual full moon, depending on how it works in the schedule. Unfortunately, the next one, April, happens over the Easter break. So I'm not going to be hosting one, but there will be one in May, June, and July. So feel free to look for that. But something else that I'll also do is a full moon musical journey where someone just comes in and I do energy work and with vibrational tools, so with music. And that's why I brought the bowl and that some of the portable things I could carry. And so someone just lies on the table and we set an intention, and then I play over them or I sing over them, cool. Depending on what they need. And this developed from, I'm also a teacher at the Transformational Arts College. So, and I teach, one of the courses that I teach primarily is the healing power of sound. And I love the course, and I love how I see people's energies changing, and how usually each week I get people to come in and they share how the sound treatment that they had the week before has changed them. And it's, you know, I've had a couple of the students coming in going, whoa, okay, okay. So this week, you know, this is what happened. And whoa, whoa. And the shifts just keep happening. And it's so really wonderful to see it and rewarding. So I decided to start offering the possibility of a half an hour treatment for people just to get that instead of having to learn it all by themselves if they just want someone to give them a treatment. And so I do that as well. Yeah, I do that as well during the full moon. But if people are resonating with a different aspect of the moons, then of course I can do that as well. But you know, for me, I work well with the full moon. So I'm busy around the full moon.
You are, eh?
But I like it. So I've got more energy usually. So.
Good.
Yeah.
So you don't get crazy during the full moon.
Well.
Nope. Oh, right. Sorry. So now I'm getting personal.
That's
right?
All relative, right? I've learned to harness my energy during the full moon.
You well, go, girl.
Yeah. I always knew that the full moon actually affects me, either positively or negatively. And it depends where I am, but usually positively. It usually gives me a little bit more energy. It makes me much more sensitive to things that are happening around me and to picking up energies. So it's a really powerful time for me. And I've always had that, even as a young child. My parents always used to notice going, okay, Jen's a little bit sensitive, more sensitive than normal. What's going on? And, oh, it's the full moon. Oh, yeah, of course. Right. Okay. She'll be okay in a couple of days. So it's that sort of thing. Yeah. So we can start the meditation now. And what I would like everybody to do is just to take a couple of deep breaths and just let the Monday go. Let go of the fact that you lost an hour of sleep. And just connect with your body. So breathe really deep down into your belly, right into that center, your little universe, and all things go out from there. And just allow anything, any energies that are hanging on, to just shake away. Let them just wash away. And breathe into any of those areas that are holding on to a little bit more. And just let it shake away. And then feel yourself connecting down into the earth, keeping yourself grounded, rooted, safe. And feel that earth energy coming up through your body. Coming up past your knees, past your hips, into your torso and heart, to your shoulders, down to your fingertips, into your throat, and up into your face, relaxing all those muscles. Till it covers your whole body and you feel yourself this warm little tingle of energy going through all of your cells. And And just allow yourself to enjoy that relaxation. And then you start to feel your body vibrate. And the vibration is wonderful. It's your vibration. In sync with the earth. And it begins to speed up just a little bit. But you always remain connected, rooted, grounded. And it speeds up, and you start to feel yourself reaching higher. Your energy is expanding upward. And you feel yourself being drawn to the moon. You look up and you see that beautiful white sphere in the sky beckoning you to join her. She whispers, "Come on, come on up." And you go. And you feel yourself connecting to her. And you join her. You feel yourself gently stepping on the surface. Almost like there's a welcome mat for you. And as you step, you feel this extra push of energy. And the energy is inviting you to heal. It's inviting you to take it in and bring it into your body and use it to heal. And if it feels right for you, lie down on the surface. Feel all that energy just rising, going into those cells, into your body, intermingling, encouraging those cells to come back to balance, because your body knows what it needs and the moon is just helping it to do it. And just breathe in, welcome it, let it occur, allow it to happen. Your body deserves to be healthy and balanced. It deserves to be where it needs to be. And now breathe into that space where you might find extra tension, where it might be sore or overused, and allow the moon energy to infiltrate every single cell. Every space within that part of your body, and the spaces between. Just allow it to blend with your own healing energies. And as you allow it to bend, to blend, you also give permission to old cells and old patterns to let go. To release. And to transform. and allow them to blend together, your cells and the moon cells. They spiral together. They dance. They dance the dance of healing and balance. And then they settle and become part of you and part of your body. Allow the shift to happen. Allow it to be part of your body. Now bring that energy, the moon energy, allow it to blend into your heart. And this is a gift for you from the moon. And as the energy enters into your heart, you hear her whisper, "Love yourself." As I love you. And allow that joy and that self-love to fill your heart. To fill your entire chest cavity. And allow it to move down your body and up your body. Loving every inch, every centimeter, every milliliter, everything about you. Allow it to blend and become one, for you are love. And repeat to yourself, "The moon loves me." I am worthy of love. I love myself. And thank your body for taking this journey. Thank the moon for the energy. And start to feel your vibration slowing. You feel yourself standing up and starting to reconnect, coming down, back down into the physical. You feel your vibration returning back to normal. And you feel yourself coming back into your body, being aware of wherever it is that you're sitting or lying or standing. You feel your body connecting to itself. Your feet connecting to the earth. Move your shoulders, your hands, your fingers, your toes. Give yourself a nice big yawn, because yawns always feel great. Give yourself a nice stretch, knowing that you've let go of this Monday. And this time is now for you. And if you'd closed your eyes, just open them up gently and come back to yourself.
Wonderful.
Thank you. So everyone should watch their dreams. Over the next couple of days, you'll probably get a few messages. And if you're one of those people who don't normally remember dreams, just keep asking. You ask every day and it'll start coming. You'll start remembering them. But you'll see little synchronicities probably happening in regards to your healing and in the path you need to go over the next couple of days. I've found that's what happens. So
you did dream work too?
A little bit. I just believe that dreams are really important. And so it's not necessarily something I would do specifically, but yeah. Definitely. Sometimes dreams are so obvious, you can't ignore them.
Right.
It's like, oh, really? That happened? Okay. What do you think it means? Because it hit me like a ton of bricks. So I've dabbled in a little bit of dream work just because it's I've personally had dreams that have been so profound that they've led me in absolutely the right direction, having listened to them. So
cool.
Neat. So those are some of the things that I do. And that's that's just a little sample of the, you know, that's a 10 minute little meditation. But usually we do about an hour, and it's a nice process. And, you know, spending a lot of time breathing, actually connecting to your body.
Which a lot of people need to do.
So if you haven't figured out right at the moment, I'm really into my body and and other people connecting to their bodies. And I think that's a wonderful thing to honor where it's at and what its, you know, what its function is and what it can do, and respecting what it needs. So I think we take care of this wonderful gift of a vessel that we've been given to live in and to experience this magnificent life, you know. And life can be pretty magnificent even when we have sad moments, you know. There's still those little sparks of magic that happen in tragedy. So we've been given this gift of having a body. So I guess that's been my mission, and it's, you know, it's kind of what I believe and what I feel. And of course it totally influences everything I do as a human being, and for my profession. It just made sense for me to go that route. And so I kind of like it. I'm a little bit chilled out right now after doing it, not as hyper as I normally am, which is wonderful. That's kind of where I'm at and what my philosophy is, my personal philosophy. And I would love, you know, the caregivers of the world to care for themselves.
Wow. Yeah.
And
I think that's a big problem with most of us, is that we're always giving, and we forget to, you know, give back ourselves.
And I think when we do give back to ourselves, and when people do give back to themselves, they have more to give. And the giving is really quite genuine. And heartfelt, and therefore the energy that goes behind it is pretty incredible. So I really love that. That's one of my visions, is to be able to, you know, help people, you know, be the best that they can be and to live from themselves, you know. And how fantastic would that be? Like, it'd be great.
Truly.
It'd be a great, great opportunity.
True. So, well, again, it's always a blessing to have you. Why don't you tell them briefly again how to get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me a number of different ways. I have a website. It's www.jenniferdrummond.com. That's J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, drummond.com. I do have an e-newsletter that goes out occasionally when the mood strikes me, because that's just who I am. And so if you're ever interested in the events that might be coming up, that's where they would be posted, and they would eventually go out via the newsletter. I do have an email address, obviously, just jennifer@jenniferdrummond.com. And of course, I'm in the age of telephone.
Wow.
Graham Bell. Love him. Anyway, 647-999-5250. And my office is down at near Young and Bloor. So I'm pretty local if you're in the Toronto area. So come on by, give me a call. Just go onto the website, take a look if you're interested.
And is the dance at the same place? Like, is
there's a small little studio for the dance, and then a treatment room for my so it's all one stop shopping. That's what it is.
Again, a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
I'm
for
sure
having
we'll have
me
you back at some
it'd
point
be great. It'd be wonderful. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening.
You too.